So you want to just begin with Obama as the Joker? Maybe just like get that out of our system. Maybe like just.
Let me be clear, Mr. Dent. If you like half of your face, you can keep it.
Cesar Romero Joker as Obama?
Okay. We're taking the big bomb with the comical fuse on it, and we're passing it all around.
Jack Nicholson Joker?
He's at the art museum for this one. The art museum scene in the when Jack Nicholson was Joker. You didn't paint that.
Oh, no. Here's the other one. It's Obama Jack Nicholson Joker, and he goes, Let's broaden our horizons, Lawrence. And then he just only defaces the art that is a representational of nature or humans because it's haram.
Okay. Do I look like a guy with a plan? I don't even have my original birth certificate.
What are some other classic Obama-isms?
You have these bitter people clinging to their bat costumes and underground caves.
They're clinging to their gadgets. their gadgets, their cars,
and their utility belts.
I don't dream of a red America or a blue America. I dream of a twisted America.
I was going to say, I dream of a purple and green America. Or
Who's Obama Joker's Batman?
I think Mitt Romney.
Yeah, Mitt Romney.
Rich. Hold on a minute. Bain Capital.
Whoa.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah, Romney is Bain.
And Mormon is the opposite of Muslim.
Yeah.
Who let the dogs out? Who? I enjoy sport.
Oh, okay. Wait. I got. It's Obama Bain now. And he goes,
you see, you merely adopted Islam. I was born in it.
Oh! It's the scene where he's at the table of criminals and he kills the guy, but he goes,
"I have a trick. I'm gonna make the ambassador disappear."
There we go.
Oh, in the Ben Garrison comic book that we're planning out that is like Obama Joker, it's Racial Hustler Al Ghul. He's a race hustler. He's Levon from True Allegiance.
Oh, you guys see this Ben Garrison that just came out? It's a spooky Halloween.
Hit me with that fire, dude.
Halloween. I didn't show it to you. I said it's one of my absolute all-time favorite Ben Garrison.
All right, this one's it's really busy.
The only one showing, I don't get is who the Jack-O-Lantern
is. The Jack-O-Lantern is McCain.
Oh, yeah, John McCain.
Now, interesting two parts of this. One is Bernie Sanders is not in this. Yeah. I feel like he was not a crowd favorite. People are like, Ben, why are you going after Bernie?
People like Bernie Sanders. Even conservatives like Bernie Sanders. People have might not disagree with him, but for the most part, regular people have a personally warm feeling towards him. He seems like a nice, friendly Jewish grandpa.
He's an outsider. He's outside of the establishment, like a regular guy. Everyone loathes.
Exactly. He's an outsider. He's working against. He knows who the most vile Democrats are always.
So there's obviously the Clintons are in it. Hillary's a witch flying on a broomstick. There's actually
a pretty good gag here.
The Bill Clinton gag.
Not the Bill Clinton gag. It's Al Franken Jill Stein.
Yes,
that's pretty good.
Well, someone pointed out he stole that from Mike Huckabee.
Really?
Mike Huckabee was the first to do the Frankenstein thing.
Well, that's also baffling. It's Jill Stein and Al Franken stitched up together as a Frankenstein, of course. Yeah. That is the Frankenstein monster. And he's like growling something like socialism, and it's like there's not a lot of commonalities between those two people. That's really just a forced visual gag.
Obama is dancing on the grave of honor, decency, truth, and justice and transparency. But right behind it, there's a much smaller grave, which of course Ben has to, you know, write something on. And the smaller grave says, "Here lies fair play." And there's also smaller graves even behind that for NFL and DNC.
And Seth Rich.
Oh, and Vince Foster.
Ooh.
And JFK Jr.
Nice callback.
JFK Jr.?
And Seth Rich, yeah. JFK Jr. is there.
JFK, who died, he died in a plane crash.
Obama killed him. We all know. Plane crash.
Obama flew the plane. Didn't learn how to land. He was at flight school in Florida.
No, but I've recently heard this. This is a new wrinkle in the Clinton death book, is that they're now saying, and I honestly don't know if there's any truth to this, is that JFK Jr. was going to run for Senate in 2000, and Clinton was afraid that he was going to win the seat. And so the Clintons,
in New York State?
Yes. So the Clintons killed him to prevent him from running against Hillary in 2000. That's a new thing, relatively new, but it is part of the Clinton conspiracy.
That's a gimme, because it's just easy to kill a Kennedy. I mean, frankly, if you were going to kill someone, just go after a Kennedy. Yeah.
Just throw a pebble, a random rock thrown at them will trigger some sort of Final Destination Rube Goldberg contraption that will result in their
death. And all the major intelligence services are going to investigate me. I don't know what happened.
What did you think was going to happen? He flew his own plane. He was a Kennedy. He was asking for it.
Paul Wellstone also killed in a mysterious plane crash.
Well, yeah, but I don't think Wellstone was killed. So that's more of like a
left. I do, though.
Well, me and Immortal Technique know the truth. Yeah.
Yes. The same people that sabotaged Senator Wellstone.
Yep.
I love Immortal Technique because he'll like have a song where he says something that's like, it'll be true. It'll be like, yeah, there was colonization up until the 60s. And by the way, lizards use sciences to take our niceties.
Well, that's the thing about Immortal. That's what's so funny about it is that it's half of these insane. And this is actually true of everybody. Because from Alex Jones on off, if you believe the really insane shit, the lizard shit, you basically, you can't walk around all day thinking about that stuff. You will disassociate because it's so far removed from what everyone else thinks is going on or what everybody else talks about. So you have that in the back of your head. Lizards, Illuminati, Hollow Earth. But then in the front of your head, it's shit like Paul Wellstone was like a fucking senator, or like, oh, Watergate, you know, or Whitewater or whatever. So you have like petty shit. And like fucking Alex Jones, the guy who thinks that our leaders are reptiles, is really upset about emails being deleted from Hillary Clinton's servers.
Well, that's the thing I never understood. So when I was like, when I first encountered 9/11 truthers in real life, who just said, like, you know, completely, completely convinced, like, oh yeah, you know, no, Bush, they used charges and they brought down the towers. I'm like, how do you walk around with that knowledge and it doesn't just change literally everything about your life and your participation in society? You go, oh yeah, the president, you know, just murdered thousands of Americans to...
Because it's just a story. It's just another story. It's like it's another thing you observe. It's like another TV show or another movie. It's just another narrative. That's all it is.
It would be like, what was that? There are a bunch of movies like this, but it's like, you know, five short stories about New Yorkers and it intersects. And it's like their sex and dating lives and they're all like intertwined, or like Magnolia, that type of thing. But yeah, you make a movie like that that's kind of twee and it's like people talking about their relationship. But one of them is in the Black Eagle Trust Fund. He's doing 9/11 at the close of his story.
By the way, Felix right now connecting 9/11 to his other big issue, just twee indie movies that he doesn't like.
He's sick of him. Sick of him. If you feel sad about anything that ever happened to you in a relationship, why don't you grow the fuck up?
Well, I'm going to strap you down and make you watch Collateral Beauty, because your brain will melt.
This is a good segue into the topic of today's show. We just watched New York, I Love You, a series of anthologies about New York. It's the sequel to Paris, Je T'aime, and we've got some remarks on it. I loved it. Nobody. Will. This guy.
Hello?
Oh, yeah, it probably is a pizza.
Okay, I'll be down in a second.
Felix, let me ask you this. For the Halloween season, does Battlefield have like spooky map skins and such?
Oh, that would be delightful.
They do that in Overwatch. The maps change. There are pumpkins. Well, there, if you cobwebs and like.
Yeah, nothing can make World War One scarier than some spooky maps. Well,
you don't know your history. There's actually a truce once during Halloween.
That was the Halloween
in 1917 when English and German soldiers stopped to trick or treat each other.
Yes, they gave each other trench foot.
Yeah, they went between the trenches. They just kind of stepped over all these bodies and gristle.
That's when they invented haunted houses, because they were like, oh, this is spooky. All these dead bodies are scary.
Yeah, real spooky. Let's make Nazism after this.
They did the reverse. They actually did give somebody a bowl of brains, and they were like, oh, it's spaghetti.
All right, enough about David S. Pumpkins. We should probably... actually start the show talk about today's breaking news. Well, folks, you know, I mean, we knew it was going to be disappointing no matter what. You know, the Mueller probe indictments handed down. And all I got to say is once more, Crooked Hillary escapes justice. You know, basically, Paul Manafort and...
Robert Louis Gates.
Papa John Papadopoulos and Kevin Gates have all been indicted for, I don't know, money laundering and...
Well, it's different stuff. Manafort and Gates are good old-fashioned money laundering and tax evasion. Classic things. Things that basically everybody in D.C. above a certain pay grade is guilty of. It's actually pretty funny because Manafort's such a manifestly crooked individual that he had to have known that the slightest... scrutiny of his finances would reveal something like this, and you wonder, well, why the hell would he agree to something as high profile as Trump's campaign manager? And the answer is, well, he had no idea that he would fucking win. He thought, this will be fine. I'll make some connections. I'll feather my nest a little bit. It'll be great. And then he won, which was the worst possible thing for basically everybody in the administration or adjacent to it, because this whole fucking crew of people who were helping drag Trump's fat ass across the finish line on the election were all just a bunch of petty grifters and shitheads who were looking to make a little bit of money, and all of them thought it'll be fine because as soon as he loses, everyone in America is going to want to forget that this entire awful campaign ever happened and no one will care. But because we live in hell world, Hillary lost, and all of a sudden all of these guys are now under scrutiny. And yeah, they've all done incredibly hilariously illegal stuff. But as far as Manafort and Gates are concerned anyway, nothing having to do with this mythical Russian collusion that all of the resistance people are squawking about.
Well, meanwhile, Yiannopoulos was caught lying to the FBI about those campaign connections to Russia, which, again, are not necessarily illegal.
Papa Yiannopoulos.
Yeah, Yiannopoulos.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think the thing I like the most is how shitty Paul Manafort is at laundering money. Because the finances they took, it was like, he was like, yeah, I spent $13 million on bowling ball cleaners, $7 million on rugs, you know, as one does. And it's like very clearly some weird money laundering thing. But I guess, you know, everyone's like, ever since Trump picked Manafort, it was like, oh, he's the cleaner to all the dictators in the world. Like, Paul Manafort was the only guy who ever did this. And it's really, he does the same thing as any guy like that, as Lanny Davis or Kissinger.
Or Tony fucking Podesta. John Podesta's brother, John Podesta being Hillary's campaign chairman, his brother Tony and co-Pizzagate owner Tony has resigned as head of the Podesta Group because he was also in bed with Manafort lobbying on behalf of the Russians to change sanctions regimes and stuff. So it's just a hilarious clusterfuck, and all it really shows is that everybody in D.C. is an absolutely crooked piece of shit. They have no ideology other than their own advancement.
Yeah, I mean, the actual thing, like, so the thing that would actually, like, show real collusion was if they could prove that the taking funding Ukraine's army out of the RNC platform, if that was a consequence of being there. But it's like, The fucked up thing about that is, like, that's actually a good policy.
Yeah, it's
like
the one good policy Trump had was, let's not start World War III over a shitty chunk of eastern Ukraine. That was the one decent part of his campaign.
Yeah.
And that, if proven to be a quid pro quo for DNC leaks or money, would actually prove an illegal act on behalf of the Trump campaign. And yeah, it's like the one of the few decent things that they were running on.
Yeah, I mean, like the shitty thing is, like, if a Democrat wins after that, they're going to be like, we're reversing Trump's crooked deal, and we're going to give $300 billion of weapons to the country that has a city called Hitlerville, and 109% of its citizens are born Sig Hailing. Look, I'm not trying. Look, I'm not prejudiced. I am. My mom's side is Ukrainian Jewish, and I just want to say, scientifically,
there's a reason they're not in Ukraine anymore.
There's a reason they're not in Ukraine, and it's because scientifically, 100% of Ukrainians are Nazis. That's science. You not disagreeing with me. You're disagreeing with scientific studies by the Science Center.
This is a.
I just can't wait. I just can't wait till Cory Booker on Inauguration Day 2021. Authorizes sending Davy Crockett tactical nuclear artillery to the fucking Goebbels division in Ukraine. It's going to be lit.
Well, I just hope that the Ukrainian people can embrace liberal democratic ideas, and I hope that we do as much as we can to welcome them.
NATO Virgil at it again.
But yeah, and here's the thing. Spoiler alert, they're never going to find any evidence that there was a quid pro quo, because that would have required the Trump campaign to be some sort of organized operation around a central premise, as opposed to a collection of petty shitheads and grifters who are all looking out for themselves.
I dispute that, though, because, as you say, they are petty shitheads and grifters, and they are staggeringly incompetent. Papadudu was making many...
What if somebody came to your house and Papadudu in your bed?
He was making many of his conversations with Russian contacts over Facebook, and then when he realized the heat was on him, he deleted his Facebook account.
He posted a pastebin for the FBI agents.
So even if nothing happens and they're incompetent, I think if you actually do have a written conversation where you promise to commit light treason, that is an actionable thing.
No, it's actionable, but it's only actionable against Papa Snuffleupagus. It doesn't go any higher than that. That's
well,
it might. Thing.
Well, that's the thing
it's
we don't
guys,
know.
Like, Papa Snuffleupagus, according to everything you see from those, he's just this desperate dork who wanted to ingratiate himself into the Trump campaign. So he went, ooh, I've got this information from the Russians. Hey, can I be on your foreign policy team? After all these guys are, you know, incompetent dickheads with Hollywood upstairs medical degrees, and they have no chance of getting a job in any other administration, like guys like Gorka. So it's all just them taking the chance to advance themselves, or like when Donald Jr. took the meeting with the Russians mm-hmm. to try to, you know, finally please their rancid father who hates them. And that's just it, is that it's never going to go to the top, because there is no top. The top was Trump, and Trump is the Crimson King, basically, from fucking the Dark Tower. He's just a mad, gibbering nitwit up on a balcony, unconnected to everybody else.
Well, yeah, but that's true. It's not going to get the top one, but are you saying it's implausible that someone like Jared would not end up perp-walked?
I mean, that is honestly, that's the best we can hope for. But the thing is that the people who are excited about this shit aren't... They'd like to see Jared fucking owned, obviously. Who wouldn't? It'd be hilarious.
Yeah, that would be so great.
But the real dream is somebody's going to hold up a document that proves that Trump's entire election was illegitimate, and it's basically going to reverse the whole thing.
Well,
and he's going to resign, or he's going to be arrested, or he's going to be impeached. None of that is going to happen. Your best hope is maybe Donald Jr. and Jared take a perp walk. And that would be hilarious and great, but all it is spectacle.
How about this? Hillary is president, but she has to keep Jared and also adopt her as her. Chelsea has to marry Jared. She's getting rid of the hedge fund guy. And Jared is the son-in-law for every president in the future.
You know, if
Jared Kushner is a permanent position in the executive branch.
If we lived,
who just travels all over the world trying to get a Chinese guy to buy his shitty building.
If we lived in medieval Europe, they would get married as a way to, you know, solidify the dynasties.
Well, two of my favorite people.
We're going to talk in a little bit about people whose fondest dream is to unite America and you know, have us come together in the middle. I would say the best way to do that would just have Jared and Chelsea get married.
Yes.
And that would be like the classic medieval sense.
Yeah. I mean, half of all Americans love Chelsea. Half of all Americans love Jared.
Are you a Jared or a Chelsea?
Yeah. Dude, you go into the Rust Belt, like, people don't care about what the media says. They love Jared Kushner.
I guess
they love how he acts nervous and has a totally blank look on his face and just will go to any country and be like, will you please buy my shitty building? I'm in debt. he speaks his mind, which is blank.
I mean, the last thing I want to say about like the Trump and the Russia thing is like I maintain what I've always said about this story, which is that I'm sure there's something there. Who knows where it's going to go? But it has never interested me, and now is no different. And I just think like the issue is like, what are we actually talking about when we're talking about Russia and this big specter like stalking the 2016 election and our current politics? Are we alleging collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia to like tank the election? Are we talking about bots? Are we talking about Facebook posts?
No.
Are we talking about hacking voting machines? Are we talking about like, it's just like, it's all this big stew, which everybody throws all of their, like we were talking earlier, it just, the election of Trump is something that
Trump winning was an insane rupture of reality. It was this just, it's an impossible thing basically for Americans who think that their country makes sense for this to happen. And so explaining it requires some sort of villain, some sort of thing that made it happen. And it can't be within. If we are Americans, we could not have let this happen, because then what is it to be an American? So it had to have been a foreign influence. It had to have been an outside force.
Yeah. I
mean, you know what makes me laugh about it is when people are like, the Hillary campaign, it was during the election, they'd be like, Jill Stein, you're going to fucking ruin it for us, because they'd be like, you know, Hillary's the most qualified candidate. Everyone working on her campaign is a genius. She truly picks the best people, team of rivals, and she is going to be sabotaged by a chiropractor healing crystal saleswoman in Jill Stein. And now it's the same thing. It's like all the people who are super into the Russia stuff because they think it will totally invalidate the election, they're like constitution humpers. They're like, you know, we're the best goddamn nation ever, and we're in a dark hour now, but we're going to get out of it and show them that we're the best nation that ever lived. And it's like, if we were the best nation who ever lived, then who was it that got, according to you, just got totally fooled into fucking itself by a country with like a negative replacement birth rate where everyone is an alcoholic and their main export is fucking dash cam murder videos? That's your brilliant experiment.
The country
of
where
democracy.
People inject gasoline into their fucking skin.
The biggest show in Russia is like, oops, I killed my kids. And they're like, it's, oh my God, I can't believe they fooled us.
We've said this before on the show, but I guess like the reason it just doesn't interest me is because like I don't need to know like the specifics of these people's crimes. Like I just take it as read that they're all just congenitally criminal.
Yeah.
That like that corruption and malfeasance and just crime is what these people do.
And all of them, not just the ones with an R next to their name.
Yeah, exactly. Not just Trump. Look at the guy. Lanny Davis would be a perfect example.
Or Tony fucking Podesta.
Yeah, you know, like just neoliberal capitalism just lends itself to the inevitable corruption of our democracy by money. And that inevitably will mean shady foreign people. So I don't know what you're holding. I don't know what the people holding out hope on this is. They think they're going to get a do-over in the election. I don't fucking know. Maybe they will.
Folks,
maybe they won't. But
folks,
I'm genuinely hoping at this moment. I was really hoping that he would fire Mueller on Monday.
Oh, God, I'm still hoping
it'll
happen.
And that way we could have some phony constitutional crisis, which will in effect mean Jeff Fuck and Ben Ass get on the Senate floor or Congress and just say, Mr. Trump, you're no role model to children. And people will fucking hem and haw about it, but nothing will happen, and it'll just be further evidence of what a joke.
Oh my God! Can you imagine if he fires Mueller? The hashtags—they'll be out of control. It'll be crazy. You won't be able to get online without seeing a fucking hashtag. People will turn their avies upside down on Facebook or whatever. But it will not matter at all, and it will be hilarious. And I'm still holding out hope, because to me, Mueller getting fired is one of the funniest things that could happen. So I'm still holding out hope.
Exactly.
Matt, you said earlier that Tony Podesta's in bed with Manafort.
Yeah.
But that's obviously not the case. Manafort is clearly too old for him. The matter is, and like, again, there's absolutely no possible way somebody could have predicted a couple days ago on some sort of recording that Manafort would be the target of the indictment and that it would have nothing to do with the actual Russia hacking scandal. My point is, at this point, it's just Schadenfreude. And I completely embrace that. Watching the grifters in the Trump administration be forced to resign, be fired, be indicted is just a delight. It's marvelous.
What if Trump fires Don Jr. as his son?
It could happen, and it'd be great.
See, here's the thing: I enjoy the individual misery of Trump officials. Absolutely, they all suck. It's great to see them in any kind of duress. But the problem is the people I really have a Schadenfreude desire for, the people I really want to see miserable, are Trump voters, and they don't care. They're all roiled up about Hillary, and they're all mad that she's not getting indicted over something that they made up on Fox News. Nothing will happen that will ever make them unhappy with Trump, and that limits my ability to enjoy any of this because they're essentially Schadenfreude proof.
I like to think of a world where the Trump administration runs out of grifters because they just keep getting fired and indicted, and just has to go to the D-League of grifters, and it's just Bill Mitchell, Secretary of State. Jack Prilosec, Secretary of the Treasury.
By the way, Prilosec had, I think, tweet of the day where he said, like, funny how CNN knew where exactly the time and place to go to see the Manafort perp walk. Like, there was, again, he was alleging some sort of, like, I don't know, deep state connection to CNN where they just knew where the FBI office in Washington, D.C. was.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Kurd Carruthers as your White House press secretary.
Do you all want to take a break and grab a bite?
Yeah, let's take a bite and break and have a bite.
Woo!
Well, we know what the art will be for the end. That's the choice.
All right. We've eaten the pizza. Nothing dramatic has occurred.
There are no hilarious images on the TV.
Welcome back to Chapo Trap House. All is well. There is no need for concern.
All right, guys, let's go. In the first segment, we were talking about the joys of Schadenfreude, the feeling of taking pleasure in other people's misfortune. And now
German.
I want to... Was that?
German.
Yes, German people's
They've
misfortune.
They've got a word for everything.
And now I want to spend...
Schadenfreude in German is actually Albrecht macht frei.
I'm going to spend most of the episode digging into an article that was in The Atlantic the other week. And I would say that this article like doesn't actually technically qualify as a Chapo reading series because I'm not reading it to make fun of the person who wrote it. I actually think it's a good, well-done piece. But what it describes is... As, like basically the essential confirmation of every single thing we've said about the Democratic Party's consultant class and their utter failure to understand politics or just basically anything and how they project onto the country like everything that they think it should be, seek confirmation of that and then find it and then of course are going to use that information to not change at all and move the party to the right, which is what they've always done.
It's a genuinely staggering story of a road trip to the Midwest to learn about what people want. And they, with a thesis...
To lose their virginities at the end of the road trip.
With a thesis that they just want... They've got problems and they just want solutions. And they just want to put that D and that R aside.
Okay. The piece I'm talking about is by Molly Ball in The Atlantic. And the title is On Safari in Trump's America. And essentially what she did is she followed this group of third way operatives as they did this, like, as you said, a road trip across like rural Wisconsin to, you know, counties that flipped for Trump in the 2016 election to try to make sense of what happened. And like Molly Ball traveled with them and sort of reported on the things they saw and did on this road trip. So this article is really worth going through in detail because there is so many jaw-dropping moments in it.
Now, there's an explanation of third way here for our listeners.
A third way is like the DNC like think tank that comes up with like centrist. It's like this. It's the right wing of the Democratic Party that comes up with what they regard as centrist sort of compromise-based, common-sense
triangulation,
solutions.
Pragmatism.
Yeah, it's means-tested.
It's Clintonism distilled.
Influence.
It's the only time in D.C. where you are not happy to hear somebody say that they've invited a third
Hey, but hey, everybody, y'all like refundable tax credits? Let me hear you if you love refundable tax credits.
To Molly Ball's credit, she writes early on in this article, I'm quoting now directly from it. She says, "For all intents and purposes, it was Third Way's vision that had been on the ballot in 2016 and lost. The think tank, inspired by new democratic centrism of the 1990s, had advised Hillary Clinton on her 2016 policy platform. In debates within the Democratic Party, Third Way advocated for the sensible center. It argued that a left-wing platform could not win elections and that what voters preferred was a pragmatic, moderate, technocratic philosophy, socially liberal but pro-business and wary of big government.
Ooh.
It used research and data to demonstrate that these policies made good politics. After the Electoral College majority unexpectedly rejected Clinton and the Democrats, Third Way, in characteristic fashion, set out to research the problem and find a solution. Its data wants got to crunching demographic information." And I think the important thing to know is that they're not looking for a solution.
No,
they're looking,
have the solution.
They have they have the policies they believe in. What they're looking for is a report or like PowerPoint presentation that they can sell to people that says essentially we don't have to turn towards the left or populism of any kind. We can keep doing essentially what we've always had.
We're right. We've always been right.
Yeah, no, it's actually the whole thing is a really stunning undermining of the whole claim that these are the people who are driven by data and reality. They are as ideological as the most fanatic of any stripe.
I mean, it's the same thing as every time we want to invade a country. We always get a study group together, and lo and behold, every country we look at is just yearning for democracy, and on some cockamamie fucking democracy index we made up, they're scoring very low. It's going to be the same thing.
We get a study group together, but there's always like the one guy is not doing any work, and the one woman is always blowing off meetings, and so it all falls down to one wonk.
But I think the comparing it to foreign countries is very, very apt, because these are people. The main woman it talks about is this woman named Nancy Hale,
and she's not a wonk. She's a field researcher.
She used to be an activist who got. So she got her start protesting nuclear power plants in the 70s, but now she's part of this center left Third Way think tank. Again, I'm quoting from, and they're traveling through rural Wisconsin. Matt, by the way, did you know any of the places they talked about?
Like
Viroqua, Wisconsin.
I never really moved farther from a county west of Lake Michigan. I never really went to western Wisconsin.
So these are the hinterlands of Wisconsin.
Yeah, those are
not
the weirdo Lutherans. Those are the people who say pop. That's okay. Like Michigan, we say soda.
Okay.
They're a bunch of hooplehead weirdos. I don't truck with them.
I always think about that. It's going to be sort of a redo of the Dominican and Haitian conflict. I said redois.
Redois.
Whatever. Redois? That's literally what I said, but...
No, redois? I know, like redois.
That's literally what I fucking said.
But what is a redois?
It looks like the word redux.
It's redux.
It's redux.
Redux.
It's redux.
Oh, my family always pronounced it redois.
What the fuck is wrong with your people? It's a UX. Where's the O coming from?
I don't know. French is a weird language.
Edit all this shit out.
Redux.
Stop. I'm starting again.
How my parents said it.
No, leave this in. Leave all this in. Leave the hole in.
Okay, yeah. I always thought about that when there's finally an interreligious armed conflict in Wisconsin, the genocide will happen when they have checkpoints and they ask people, they hold up a can of Coke and they say, what is this?
It's stark, because I'm from Manitowoc, which is right on Lake Michigan, and we all said fucking soda, and all my cousins are from the Fox River Valley and Appleton and shit, and they all said pop. And it is a very stark divide. And if it came to it, I would chop them up with machetes.
Well, I'm getting the band back together, the Illinois Bath Party, and we're finally getting the room to breathe that we've always wanted in Wisconsin.
And the thing is that there actually is a religious element to it, because most of the people on the Lake Michigan side are Catholics, like Polish, Germans, and Irish, and then everybody to the west is these fucking weirdo Lutherans from Scandinavia or whatever.
Which one's Scott Walker?
He's from Milwaukee County. Yeah.
Is he Catholic?
I don't actually know. I think he's a weirdo Protestant.
Okay.
That's redundant.
So Molly Ball describes this as, she says, she writes here, the trip is predicated on the optimistic notion that if Americans had only listened to each other, they would find more that united than divided them. This notion, the idea that beyond our polarized politics lies a middle or third path on which most can come together in agreement, is Third Way's raison d'etre. It is premised on the idea that partisanship is bad, consensus is good, and that most Americans would like to meet in the middle. So this is... this is the governing, I wouldn't say that this is the governing ideology of Third Way, but this is their sales pitch.
And politics shouldn't have any politics in it.
Exactly. It's predicated on the idea that we can wish away the essential political disputes between right and left that define our politics, and that there is this mass of people out there who essentially all agree, but are... you know, I don't know, hoodwinked by partisanship and by angry rhetoric and by tribalism and things like that. So
tired of the two-party grind?
So going on, she said, speaking of Nancy Hill, she says she had come to seeking mutual understanding, only to find that some people were not the least bit interested in meeting in the middle. Surprise, surprise. Just look at any evidence of our politics over the last, of any of your lifetimes. And now she was at a crossroads. Would she have to revise her whole world view to account for this troubling reality? Now, it goes on and says they were visiting a series of targeted areas, these sort of swing counties that voted for Obama and then went for Trump really big in the 2016 election. And they had come to listen to people, to hear them, and by sort of acknowledging that they mattered and that their voices were important, that they could realize that, like, we're all basically the same and want the same thing, which coincidentally is basically Third Way's, I don't know, center-right tepid liberalism. So going on here, she says, Molly writes, our tour of Western Wisconsin had begun 2 days earlier at an imposing courthouse in the rural county seat of Ellsworth, the self-proclaimed cheese curd capital of Wisconsin. And they talked to a group of farmers, and here's what their fellow Americans told them. You've got all these parasites making a living off the bureaucracy, the farmer declared, like leeches pulling you down, bleeding you dry. We had been in the state for just a few hours, and already the researchers' quest for mutual understanding seemed to be hitting a snag. Others in the group, a bunch of proudly, curmudgeonly older white men, identified other culprits. There were plenty of jobs, a local elected official and business owner said, but today's young people were too lazy or drug-addled to do them. As we proceeded to meetings with diverse groups of community representatives, this sort of blame-casting was a common refrain. Disdain for the young, in particular, was a constant. Across demographic, socioeconomic, and generational lines, even young people complained about young people. Some of the people we met expressed the conservative-leaning view that changes in society and the family were to blame. One technical skills instructor at the Chippewa Falls School questioned whether women belonged in the workplace at all.
Felix, doesn't that remind you of when we worked for Carl Digler and we helped him with this article when he went to Iowa to a Trump rally and thought he was going to get the real scoop? He goes out in the audience and is like, you know, are you a Snapchat mom? And what he hears is, Hollywood says it's correct for certain races to mix. I don't agree with that.
Yeah, that was exactly what happened. And then Donald Trump called him out for Thinkocracy, Rise of the Brainy Congressman being a bad book.
Well, it was a bad book. That he was right.
No, it was. It just didn't sell well. He did sell out Mikey Barbaro, which was disgusting, but I forgive everyone.
Well, that's so, this woman had the same experience as Carl.
Yeah. She went there saying, I live in the corner of solutions and hope, and people were like, yeah, I fucking hope that Jerry Dunk gives me my fucking headphones back.
So
she's like, how do I put this living Facebook status in my bullshit study to say that all these toothless fent people love charter schools?
Sir, how would you feel about a problem solver app?
Problem solver. I mean, like, they got, like, more types of Mexicans than ever nowadays. People think you can't be a good father just because you are pursuing a motocross career at age 38.
I think Congress should get a tax credit for solutions.
I would like if you use somebody else's credit card and they don't notice it for, like, a week, you should be able to get away with it.
But one day a real rain will come to wash out the parasites from our society.
Exactly. Yeah,
I got
this
some
is great.
Parasites.
So these sort of these bright-eyed third way types, they go out seeking confirmation that good salt of the earth people are pretty much like they are, and their first meeting was a bunch of like just absolute cranks who blame Mexicans and drug-addled youths for all of America's problems.
Yeah, there's nothing more solutions based than the idea of forcing millennials to work public works projects at gunpoint.
And are you're not familiar with these people from Wisconsin?
I know I only know a few farmers. Thank God.
So like, The third way people, they immediately encounter like the right wing of America and are stumped by it. But what's more interesting is what happens when they express, when they can encounter genuinely populist sentiments. Let's read this part, because this is probably the most stunning part of the article. Molly writes, politics, though, was not the focus of the third way interviewers, who believed there was more to be gained by asking neutral, open-ended questions. In accordance with third way's ideology, they believed that political partisanship was not most people's primary concern. But sometimes the Wisconsinites brought up politics anyway. At the Labor Temple Lounge in Eau Claire, 9 gruff-looking union men sat around a table. One had the acronym of his guild, the Laborers International Union of North America, tattooed on a bulging bicep. Now, this is a group of people who, like, the Democratic Party should be picking up their votes. They should be focused intensely on how do we get the votes of these people, not the fucking crank farmers who think that, you know, Mexicans are poisoning their milk or whatever.
These are people who know what side their bread is buttered on. They've spent years fighting Scott Walker and his monstrous
scheme. Listen
to
this. It said the men pinned the blame for most of their problems squarely on Republicans, from Trump to Governor Scott Walker. School funding, the minimum wage, college debt, income inequality, gerrymandering, health care, union rights. It was, in their view, it was all in their view, the GOP's fault. Again, these are people who have a realistic understanding of how politics works and what real political issues are.
No. You, sir, get a P for partisanship.
Listen to this. A member of the Bricklayers Union lamented Walker's cuts to public services. If we can't help each other, he said, what are we, a pack of wolves? We eat the weakest one? It's shameful. That right there could be the Democratic Party's slogan going into 2018 or 2020. Are we wolves or are not?
Yeah.
Like, are we going to eat the weakest among us? Like, you know,
I don't know. I mean, the sentiment is great, but it sounds like a pack of wolves sounds too cool.
You're right.
That sounds cool.
No, they will be like, fuck yeah, we're wolves.
Yeah.
A wolf, instead of deplorable Gertie, it's going to be, well, wolf cub.
They're
Gertie.
All going to become furries.
They're all going to get fursonas.
How about vulture? Everyone hates vultures.
Idea is, he says, if we can't help each other, what are we? It's shameful. Right?
Yeah.
He's identifying great like sentiment. Politics as a collective endeavor to better society, and recognizing things like minimum wage, debt, in gerrymandering, which is a huge issue in Wisconsin and probably a major reason Hillary lost the election.
Yes.
Yeah, outside fucking Russia.
Gerrymandering Wisconsin had 5 billion% more to do with Hillary losing than anything Russia did.
These are like working class people who are clearly identifying the malefactors in our politics today and the people who are like immiserating their lives.
They understand politics as a conflict of interest.
So let's see how the third way people responded to this. Quoting now from the article, but their negativity towards Republicans didn't translate to rosy feelings for the Democrats, who they said too frequently ignored working class people.
No.
And some of the blame, they said, fell on their fellow workers, many of whom supported Republicans against their own interests. The membership, the union rank and file, voted for these Republicans because of them damn guns, a labor union official said. You cannot push it out of their head. A lot of it loved it when Walker kicked our ass. So like, they're identifying this insane thing where union guys are actually rooting for the Walkers and the Trumps of the world.
Because they recognize the weakness of the Democrats.
Exactly. Because the Democratic Party does not represent their interests either. They correctly recognize that
as
well.
If you have guns and you like guns, at least you can be sure if you vote for Republicans, they're going to protect your guns. What are Democrats going to do for you? Nothing. There's nothing that they're promising you.
Yeah, it's only the absence of Walker's policies. And you, as has been repeatedly shown, you can't win on the promise of what's not going to happen. And also, of course, there's the powerhouse sexual charisma of Scott Walker. It's just like hard to overcome.
Okay. Here's where it gets amazing, though. A debriefing after this particular group, the third way listeners said they found the union men demoralizing. I feel like they can't see their way out, Hale said. They were very negative, Paul Neville, another researcher, concurred. They were so fixated on blaming Republicans, Hale fretted. It was very us versus them.
Wow. Captain, I'm detecting high levels of partisanship in this quadrant.
Well, man, it's almost like it's a contest over resources.
It's almost like elections are us versus them. It's about two groups of people versus each other.
It's almost like the basic premise of it is you walk into a goddamn fucking voting booth and there are two fucking names and you pick one of them.
You walk into a goddamn motherfucking voting booth and we can't even goddamn here to motherfucking
that's what a goddamn team did, motherfucking do. And that's what I'm fucking do right fucking now. Fuck no! Don't, don't be fucking stupid!
Okay. It's like these guys have never even gone to a DC epic zombie pub crawl and taken selfies with both staffers for Senator John Toon and Senator Sidney Blumenthal.
Sidney Blumenthal?
Oh, no, wait, fuck. I meant to say the other Jew from Connecticut. I'm so fucking tired. I'm in excruciating pain. I mixed up one of my favorite guys, Sidney Blumenthal, with my other favorite guy.
I can't remember his
first name. Richard
Blumenthal.
It's okay. Phil.
Yeah.
No,
Senator Blumenthal.
Leave this in. Felix, you just need to, you need to right now do the street fight speedball, dump that crate of the Monster Energy drink, you'll be feeling great in no time.
I'm going to sue my building. The chain, you know how when you on a flusher on a toilet, the chain, it picks up the suction thing so the water can go in and it flushes it? Yeah. The chain on that is broken.
So and you just replace the chain?
No. I don't know how to do that.
It's like $2 at the hardware store.
No, but the fucking rubber hole that you put the chain in is fucking broken.
I'm familiar with the concept of a toilet and how plumbing works.
Use a ring, like a key ring, and you put it in
there. Guys, we got a lot to go. We got a long way to go in this article.
Okay.
We got a long way to go in this article.
All right. We'll have Home Improvement Chapo next week.
So they were so fixated on blaming Republicans for their problems, probably because Republicans are the source of many of their problems.
Well, especially, in a state like Wisconsin, where Walker and his guys got in and immediately turned the entire state to shit. They destroyed the public, they destroyed the public university system. They destroyed the public unions, jobs. It's all falling apart. And the only ray of sunshine is that he's going to bring a fucking Foxconn factory. The people who are known in China for their anti-suicide nets, they're going to give them a factory in Wisconsin, and they're going to waive a bunch of environmental and labor regulations so that they could basically turn the Fox River Valley into fucking Guangzhou or something.
And Democrats,
that's their only fucking that's their only plan for undoing the massive damage that they've done to Wisconsin.
And Democrats in Wisconsin resisted Walker but lost time and time again at the ballot box because you can't overcome what the majority of people think about the National Party if it's just going to keep getting destroyed and tarnished and deluded
by these third way fucking creeps.
I mean, for all the religion that these people worship is public relations and branding and marketing, yet they can't get it through their fucking deformed skulls that people genuinely despise losers and people who seem like losers to them.
People who walk through life in an instinctive crouch. They're wincing at every moment.
Well, here's
waiting for the blow to come from the more strong and powerful person.
Hang on, Felix. We're midway through the article. I think by the end of it, Candide is going to realize this is not the best of all possible worlds. So
let's see what Dr. Pangloss has to say after he's crunched the numbers.
Well, this is a little bit of color about Hale that I really liked. It said Hale.
Is it Matthew Hale?
No, a tall woman.
The more likable protagonist of the story.
A tall woman with a breathy voice and mop of curly red hair had come to Wisconsin fresh off a silent Zen meditation retreat in California. She had spent her career building...
I am so fucking sick of this. Every fucking piece of shit whose job is we're going to make a slick PowerPoint for the new Child Hunter missile to sell to the Saudis. Whatever evil shit. They love mindfulness and meditation because they think if they just concentrate hard enough, it will make them not a piece of shit.
Hers was a politics of empathy, she told me.
Oh, fuck off.
Whether you're talking about nonviolence or feminism, it's really the same idea. Everybody matters. Not those union guys.
No. Oh, fucking
So
die.
It said, This is what this is how Third Way's deputy director of strategy began each focus group.
And I wish I wish you would do Bikram in fucking Death Valley in August.
He says, "We are a think tank that deals with what the plurality of Americans are thinking about. In other words, we don't spend a lot of time on the ideological edges. It has started seeming like the far left and the far right were the only voice in America, but we know that's not true. We focus on the 70% in the middle.
Because
we think most of us, as Americans, are there."
Wait, they said plurality?
Yeah.
Plurality is a minority.
Yeah, it's the biggest minority.
No, it's the biggest chunk of a minority. Yeah, 70% would be an absolute majority. They don't even know their own
stupid
math.
They don't even know data. They don't know fucking anything.
Again, Molly Ball, to her credit, says this was slightly disingenuous. Third Way, while not officially associated with a party, is an organization with a policy agenda, from gun control to entitlement reform, that seeks to advance within the Democratic Party and with the broader public. Most of its funding comes from corporations and financial executives.
No!
Critics on the left call the group the Wall Street wing of the Democratic Party and accuse it of advancing its donors' interests over the greater political.
That
good.
Seems unlikely.
Third Way has called for cutting Social Security and Medicare and vehemently attacked the soak-the-rich populism of Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders.
I gotta say, I can't think of a more popular platform than gun control plus entitlement reform.
Yeah. That's
hey, what people we're not just coming for your guns, we're coming for your Social Security check.
We're coming for your grandma, too.
Does it mean 70% of Americans who would kill them on sight?
Voters, it claims, are not interested in a party that's all about big government and tax and spend.
Hey, big government sucks, as so, that meme showed.
So the next place that they probably, the next community that they visit is this small town of 5,000 people called Viroqua that is sort of like a crunchy, sort of like left-wing, kind of almost like Rod Dreher, Benedict Option style hippie community of people, you know, who have college degrees, but they've chosen to work on organic farms and raise rabbits and kill them and fucking have work at a co-op and, you know, have chickens in their backyard.
No,
and
they're
shit.
Not going to kill the rabbits. They're going to pet the rabbits. Right, so, Will?
These people immediately sort of know what Third Way is. And at their focus group, they're immediately asked, isn't this underwritten by the DNC? A local cafe owner asked Watson after his Just Here to Listen opening spiel. I read somewhere you're spending $20 million, another man said. This is all pretty much true. Third Way, not the DNC, was paying for the project, but the, quote, new blue campaign was hardly a nonpartisan effort. So they respond, this is not about Democrats or Republicans. It's about what's going on beyond the Beltway. So they meet these sort of like, again, the people in this sort of the more left-wing, like crunchy community. And one of the people says, I'm not like a jumping up and down Bernie-crat, the man said, but what you see in these congressional meetings is a refusal to even play ball with ideas considered too extreme, like single-payer healthcare. All these centrist ideals, he said, are just perpetuating a broken system. This was a direct attack on the very premise of Third Way's existence. These are not the ideas of the middle 70%. These are not the voices of an America that wanted to find mutual understanding with its neighbors. They were, essentially, separatists, proud of their extremism, and disdainful of the unenlightened. I mean, I don't know that that's her sort of editorial view on this, but like again, time and time again, they're encountering real Americans in the rural, real part of America who have strong political beliefs and don't really view compromising them as necessary or even moral. So it goes on here. They sort of end the trip, and then they do their report on everything that they distill all the conclusions and all the focus groups that they had. And wouldn't you know it, none of the quotations from the town of Viroqua made it in, except for one where one guy describes the area as having intense local pride. That's it. Nothing about single-payer healthcare or any of that.
We have intense local pride.
Yeah. Molly writes, the report surprised me when I read it. Despite the great variety of views the researchers and I had heard on tour, the report had somehow reached the conclusion that Wisconsinites wanted consensus, moderation, and
what?
Pragmatism,
wait
just like Third Way.
Hold on.
We had heard people blame each other for their own difficulties, take refuge in tribalism, and appeal to extremes. But the report mentioned little of that. Instead, it described the prevailing attitude as an intense work ethic that what? Binds the community together and helps it adapt to change. This supposedly universal belief in the value of hard work was the researchers' principal finding from their trip.
Huh? Nobody has a job. What are they
in the face
about?
Of challenges from school budget cuts to factory closures, as they said, the community had responded with a fierce work ethic and no-nonsense attitude.
No, they all die of OxyContin overdose. What are they talking about?
The report, in short, covering three big takeaways from the seven-ing listening sessions Third Way conducted. The first takeaway is the importance of hard work. The second is the need for a strong workforce.
Wait, what?
Hard work, strong workforce. Okay. The third, described in a section entitled, Just Get the Hell Out of My Way, is locals' purported antagonism to big government. Quoting from the report, it says, whether the question is about immigration or banks, taxes or welfare, the people we spoke to generally felt that government policies were irrelevant to their daily lives. It states, this view is made to sound like one that was broadly expressed, but in fact, we mostly heard it in just one session, the group of curmudgeonly farmers. Almost all the quotations in this section are drawn from that group.
Yeah, a bunch of psychotic hermits.
Right-wingers,
to the
exactly.
Government.
Not the middle of American politics, but actually the right wing of
we
it.
We polled the Weaver family, and six out of eight of them have a negative feeling towards the FBI.
The good.
I will say, though, the Weaver family did get a raw deal from the FBI.
Of course.
The good people of Western Wisconsin, Third Way found, wanted nothing so much as a society where people could put aside their differences. The report quotes a man who says, "We come together on projects and solve problems together."
That is, like he said, like Virgil said, this is some fucking hard copy. We're a rock bottom where Homer goes to the interview. This is like sweet can. It's like the next thing he said after that was, unlike those ungrateful millennials who should be rounded up and shot in the ditch.
Yeah. I think if we all work together recording, we can all take a good hard look at the Jewish pedophiles.
So it goes on, and Molly catches up with Nancy Hale, who's now off on another Third Way trip in southern Arizona. And she asked, she was preparing for the next discussion with a group of young immigration activists, all of whose beliefs, I'm sure, will be completely edited out.
Because they're not going to be saying, you know what?
We love Barack Obama. Yeah. He was great for immigrants. Yeah.
And we also, the Republicans, they're just other Americans, and just want what's best for the country.
Sir, we came to this country to escape rampant partisanship in our country.
Nancy Hale isn't candy. She's Terry Southern's candy.
So Nancy says here, I've come to the conclusion that most of our divisions have to do with a lack of understanding. And I don't mean in some kind of academic way. I mean in a very human way. I know it's very unpopular to say there are any benefits of the recent election, but people seem to be moving more toward that. Does that describe to you the America we currently live in, where despite the outcome of the election, Americans are moving towards understanding each other more?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not like we've all retreated into these bubbles of reinforcing media and have convinced ourselves that every other American is going to try to kill us when we go to the fucking grocery store. That's not at all what the country we live in is like.
It's not that our politics are entirely based on who we want to see go to prison for our own personal entertainment value.
Yeah, our politics are based on the 2009 comedy, Let's Go to Prison.
Terrible, terrible film.
Nah, I don't know, underrated.
She says, the fact that we now have this very direct experience that we can use to tell a story, a completely fraudulent one, we get listened to it a different way because we figured out a better way to say it, Hale told me. And I had no doubt this was true. The Beltway Democrats were eagerly swallowing Third Way's claims, bolstered by their firsthand accounts of the mysterious heartland.
This is very baffling, except they failed to mention that one of the people they interviewed in Wisconsin was the mysterious pseudonymous source known as only as Curveball, who gave them all of their most important information.
So at the end here, Nancy just says, what stuck with her above all, Hale told me, was how grateful people were to the researchers for hearing them. She's the hero of the story is the important thing to her.
Because all people want is to be heard.
She says, the thing people end up saying to us are really kind of miraculous, considering that 5 minutes before, they had never met us, she said. I think that has to do with us saying, this matters. You are the democracy. You matter.
Except not at all. If you say anything that disagrees with our preconceived thesis, you will be dropped into a fucking ditch.
Well, here's
no one will ever hear anything you have to say.
This is, it sounds like, you know, like another another thing about people from a place far away going to a land they didn't understand and finding out about themselves and who they thought their enemy was and people in general. I'm talking about the TV show MASH, and we can only hope that their return flight replicates that in the TV show MASH.
Well, only one person crashed in MASH.
No, there was also the guy who had fail brain from the war and like killed the kid.
I don't remember that.
You know, the fucking guy was on the bus and...
Well, no, that was the mother killed the kid, swaddled the kid.
Timely references so that the...
I'm running on so many fumes. Absolute I'm garbage. Sorry.
Well, I cut that. Guys, at the end of this article, Professor Pangloss says to Candide Podesta, "That is all well and good. Now let us tend our pizza place."
I think that's a great place to end it for this week, everybody. Third Way, if you're out there, we'd like you to come to one of our listening groups.
Yeah, we'd love to be heard by you.
Yeah.
By the way, Third Way, I hear there's some rampant partisanship in the Sinai Desert in Egypt between people who just like the old-fashioned solutions of the Egyptian government and people who are for the disruptive new party of the Islamic State. And you should go there and poll people.
By the way, union guys in Wisconsin, you sound cool as hell. Yeah. I want to hang out with you.
Oh, absolutely. I want to have a beer with those guys.
I want to hang out with the racist farmers personally.
No, I grew up with those assholes. No, thank you.
Yeah, and it made you who you are today. And that's
true. Incredibly resentful and bitter.
No, actually, it shows that there's something you can learn for everybody, you know? 5 minutes ago, I didn't even know that you knew those farmers. And now, I think the fact that you told me that shows that when you go to people with an open heart, the only ceiling is the possibilities of the what you can do when you're friends with people.
I think podcasts are going to solve the problem because it's a way for everyone to be heard and listened to.
Yeah,
so podcasts, every American start their own podcast. There'll be 350 million different podcasts.
I mean, everyone will be already going there.
Yeah, everyone will be listened to. Everyone will be heard. Solutions will become real.
That's yep. I can't wait till
you matter is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you are democracy. You matter is what I'm saying to all of you.
Recording now, an hour long podcast to let my son know that I'm worried about him. Not even telling him directly. It's just being like, "Hey, post the SoundCloud link."
Like
hope
I said,
hear it.
Everybody. Till next time, you matter.
You matter.
You matter.
You matter.
Bye. Bye.